You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, hey, hello. Welcome back once again to another episode of the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Today I have a pretty special guest, actually. He's the co-creator and now co-star of one of my favorite podcasts. I'm not just saying that because they've had me on a couple of times, and I'm also not just saying that because we've had his compatriot on three times. Believe it, three times. My guest today is none other than Jesse Lawrence. For those of you who've come across Newton's Nuggets before, Jesse is Paul's partner in crime in the podcast and in many other things in life, which we'll no doubt discover as we go through today. But yes, we've got Jesse on at last. Now, who is Jesse? Jesse has had a varied career, starting as an engineer, working through sales, marketing. He's very much found his passion in the media and marketing world. As the owner of a thriving photography business, a popular business podcast, an author and marketeer, as all of these, he gets involved with a wide range of industries and keeps himself extremely busy, which is why it's taken us a while to get a hold of him. That's my guest today, Jesse Lawrence. Hey, Jesse, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm very good, thank you. I'm really pleased to finally get onto the show. It's taken us a little while, but yeah, it's absolutely fantastic to be here.
And it is great to have you. Great to have you here. Some things and some guests are worth waiting for, and you're definitely one of those. So, Jesse, we've heard your bio, but who is Jesse?
That's a good question. It's very funny, especially listening to all the things that you were talking about in the bio there of stuff that I've done, because very much that start in life for me as an engineer with my sort of science-y mindset and all of that, very much, as you can imagine, naturally an introvert. And then you listen to all the other things on there, the things I've been doing over the last couple of years, where I've been mostly sat in front of a camera or promoting things and promoting myself in one way or another, very much extrovert activities. So I'm going to say that I'm somehow an introverted extrovert, whatever that's supposed to mean.
Brilliant. That's one of the things that we're particularly interested in discussing today. Because I've noticed your evolution over the past few years of knowing Paul and getting to know you as well. Particularly through that other podcast that we keep mentioning, and we'll come to that in a moment. But let's just kind of take a step back and see kind of where you came from. So you have had a varied career, engineer, sales, marketing. Give us a little kind of potted history of where you came from, how this all developed.
So as you can probably guess by how varied it is, I never really knew what I wanted to do growing up. All I knew was I was good with science and maths and that sort of thing. And I got good results, something interesting. So I went off and did an aerospace engineering degree, what seems a lifetime ago now. So having left that, I guess I realized during that the thing I liked was working with people, and the teamwork exercises and things like that I really enjoyed. So coming out, I didn't go in straight into what I would call a pure engineering job. And the majority of people who were doing engineering actually ended up going off to do banking of one one level or another. So, because that's where the money was at. Yeah. So I ended up basically going into a sales engineering mixed job, which is where it all kind of started, really. And that sort of set me down the line of becoming more and more sales orientated. So I worked for a big corporate doing sales and engineering. Part of that was I had aspirations of becoming a pilot for the Navy. So I went and did that for about 9 months and got really bored. So I left, much to their disgust, and came out and did what was much more of a sales role. And again, sort of traveling, meeting people and all of that sort of thing, but this time for a much smaller business, helping a smaller SMB grow, basically.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then, so through working with that SMB, that led me into doing a lot of work with the marketing team there, and slowly that led me into a career in marketing, which is what I still do now. And that this will be something that we probably both have in common. I very much enjoy the psychology side of things. And understanding how people work and what makes them motivated and that sort of thing. And so doing marketing, people think marketing's purely about branding and shouting and sending tweets out to people and things. But if you're doing it well, you're doing a lot more about understanding who your audience are and the mindset and all of that sort of thing. So I really, really have enjoyed that.
Got it. Yeah. And no, you're absolutely right with what you say there with marketing. There is a whole lot more to it than what many people assume. So true.
Yeah. As my wife puts it, I make things look pretty for a living.
Yes, you do that with your sales and marketing. So you also do it with your photography because you're a successful photographer in your own right. You've got your own photography business. How did that come about and how's that going?
That's an interesting story. Like you'll get a running theme here of how I just kind of fell into things, really. Yeah. So I've always been a budding amateur photographer. I've really always enjoyed it. It's a perfect world of artistic flair and geekiness and technology. and so it just really appealed to me. And then one day, sat watching TV with my wife, she said, do you remember that person? That's an old friend of mine that you met that time. Yeah. She said, she's doing this little charity thing apparently. And she just wants someone to take some photos. And so I said, yeah, sure. I'm happy to do that for her. So I messaged, and she said, oh yes, it's, this big, beautiful venue in the New Forest, and it's a red carpet event. We've got a famous newsreader coming down, and it's, you know, going to be black tie and all of the rest of it. And I was just like, are you sure you really want me for this? And she's like, oh yeah, that'll be fine, that'd be absolutely fine. And I was like, okay. So I had 3 or 4 months to learn what I was doing, and literally that was any spare moment. I was doing photo shoots with people. I was going out and learning the craft properly rather than just, you know, taking pictures of flowers in the garden and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And after 3 or 4 months and doing the event and it going very well, I thought, you know what, I'm going to actually do a proper job of this. And, you know, I might as well use those skills now. And I've really fallen in love with it. It's, but that introvert in me quite likes spending days with, you know, hundreds of people and photographing them. So,
which some people might find a bit strange for an introvert, but I guess in a way you're still detached from them because you're behind the camera and rather than.
Yeah. But I guess what I like is, and it's how I kind of, it's kind of how I've become well known in the area with the style that I have, is very much not being that person shouting at people, making them pose, and actually making people try, making sure that I'm, if I make myself comfortable around them, then they feel comfortable around me. And so therefore there's very little, you know, having to control the crowd, because they kind of do it themselves, which is quite nice. And over time I've got used to just sort of standing in front of people, and like you say, I've got that camera there to hide my face if I feel a little bit nervous or what have you, but over time it's become more and more natural, and I quite like pushing those boundaries, even if I don't, it's not natural for me to do those sorts of things, you know, working with Paul, who quite happily, you know, his comfort zone's on a stage with 1,000 people staring at him, and my comfort zone's being stood at the back of the room photographing him. But I do like to push those boundaries a little bit, just to, because it's something to do. I don't like just sitting around, and sitting in your comfort zone all the time doesn't do anything for me, I think.
Yeah, no, it's nice to push boundaries from time to time, isn't it?
Yeah.
But still have that comfort zone that you can always go back to. It's like, exactly. Right, I've done the pushing, and now let's go back and be comfortable.
Yeah. And relax.
And relax, exactly. you mentioned Paul. And that's how you and I got to know each other through Paul as well. Where on earth did you find Paul? How did you meet?
So that first ever charity event is where I met Paul.
Got it, right.
And there were a few of us there. So there was a DJ as well who we've both remained friends with, who does event DJing, but he's also a reasonably famous radio DJ as well. Oh. And we all sort of, the three of us sort of got together and became friends through that event.
And do you want to give him a shout out, or is he too famous for...
Simon Clark. So if you, for the longest time he was on BBC, but I believe he's gone over to Global these days. Yeah. But yeah, Simon's a fabulous guy, and basically all of their DJ business is very much... a group of DJs who are all quite high end. It's a running thing of quality of suppliers and making sure that when we're recommending people, I'm always like to be quite fussy with that sort of thing. So as you can imagine.
Yeah. Well, no, it makes sense. Because ultimately it's your reputation on the line as well.
Absolutely.
When you recommend someone, if they turn out to be not so good, your reputation that takes a hit too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right, so it was through that same charity event that you met Paul,
and we just kind of hit it off because we had the same sort of terrible sense of humour, really. after that event we sort of bumped into each other a few times, and we talked about business things together. Paul knew that at the time when I was doing sales with a bit of marketing, I was working a lot with security and military industries. And Paul had this idea of where his magic I'm sure you're familiar with the story. I'm pretty sure I've heard Paul talk about his story on your podcast. But where he had that initial thought of at an event where somebody said, you know, your skills are very dangerous.
Yes.
And so he said to me, you know, I think there's something here from a niche point of view and a marketing point of view. Do you fancy giving me a hand?
Nice.
And we just threw some ideas together, and that's kind of how Mental Theft came about. So whilst I'm probably still, I would say, in the back seat from Mental Theft, you know, Paul's still very much the face of that particular thing. That's been a very much a baby of the two of ours, working on what that company should be and who we need to help and who that audience is, basically.
Got it. Yeah, and for those who are curious to find out more about Mental Theft, check out the podcast episode that Paul and I did. I'll pop the link in the show notes. Check out the book that Paul and Jesse wrote, Mental Theft, and check out Mental Theft as well. We'll pop some pops and links in. The other big project that you and Paul embarked upon is, of course, Newton's Nuggets, the podcast that's ridiculously popular and continuing to grow and do really well. Where did that come?
So originally, Newton's Nuggets, hence the name, it was Paul's little nuggets of help that he was giving. So being a what I would call a prolific networker, Paul was basically coming up with all these different ideas and thoughts. And basically once a week as part of his marketing, which he's, you know, always lacked in, but knew he needed to do. So he, once a week, he would, wherever he was, he would just sit down and record, a 2-minute clip, you know, mostly sat in his car or in his garden with the wind blowing and you couldn't hear half of what he was saying. and he would just post that out as a Newton's Nugget, and it was a bit of advice, and it was quite a cool little idea, really. It was just helping people out. And people started watching it. And we look back now and can't really understand why, but people started watching it. And so we said, look, I've got camera equipment. I've got a bit of audio equipment. Do you want to actually record this and make it look a bit better? And so... at the time, I had an office not as shiny as the one I'm sat in now. It was literally a 6-foot shed that I had filled with soundproofing and things. And so it was like a mini studio. I literally sat with my back hanging out the door of the office, because there was only enough room for just about for Paul to sit comfortably and me to sit there with the camera. And we just started filming, and they became sort of 5-minute segments. And it was still, at the time, it was very much Paul. The two of us would come up with ideas and produce it together, but then Paul would talk to the camera for maybe 5 minutes, and we would post that out, and it became a regular thing. You know, definitely every month, every week, we would post that out. And that was just kind of where it was at, really. It didn't really go anywhere as such. People were watching every now and again. If we could get a decent title, a decent subject, we might have a few people come and watch it. And it was, I think it was Facebook at the time, Facebook videos. And we'd just stick a Facebook video out once a week. And that was Newton's Nuggets as it was. And then lockdown happened. And that basically changed everything. And it was an opportunity for us, really. I say there was a little something that happened in between. So that was happening around about Christmas that we started doing that. And Paul suggested it. Basically, one day Paul missed something. Anybody who has listened to the show will know that Paul doesn't do scripts. He can just about cope with the bullet points, and he'll miss 3 or 4 of them in the middle. So I was there pointing, going, don't forget this. And it was Paul. So we went, just say it out loud. So I spoke to him, and we had a bit about our usual banter, and I spoke to him, and I didn't bother to clip it out. I just posted it out as it was. And 'cause it kind of felt natural. And then he got loads of feedback, and he went, everybody said, we loved that bit where you were chatting with Jesse. And Paul said, you've got to be on. You've got to be on this. So when you've got stuff to say, or if I've got questions or something, then I'm just going to ask you, and we'll stick a camera on you. And we won't use most of it if you don't want to. But then if you've got something to say, we'll have you in it. And then... Paul, being Paulie, just spent every show decided to ask me what my thoughts were on what he did, because it's Paul. Yeah. And so I didn't really have a lot of choice. I was sat there in a camera and talking, basically, and trying to avoid the fact that there was a camera in my face, which I'm used to being the other side of.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
So go on. I was going to say, and then lockdown happened and we just sort of decided to make hay with it and just go, do you know what? We can make this into a proper podcast. We started interviewing people. We had no idea about format. We didn't know what the subject was going to be. We just went, let's interview some interesting people and see what happens. And here we are today, two years later.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's one thing that I really wanted to explore with you in the short time we've got left. I've been privileged to be a guest a couple of times, I think, on Newton's Nuggets. And one of the biggest differences I've noticed is in the first time that I was a guest, you were very much kind of hardly seen there at all, way in the background, kept out of it. Second time, it was, if you'll excuse the expression, it was a three-way, you, me, and Paul. It was a threesome. It was, which really did obviously liven the show up, and it's been great watching the episodes over the months and seeing you come out of your shell and become more in front. So going from just that, Paul, you forgot about this bit, to co-presenter on it. How did you get comfortable? Because I know originally you didn't like to be on camera because you weren't very comfortable with that. You were far more comfortable being behind the camera. How did you kind of get over that and develop the comfort to be that face in there? And how can others, what steps can others do to help them get more comfortable?
Yeah, I was thinking about this and thinking it comes from two points, really. The first thing is, like, we, over time, we have become a business focused podcast. And so the ideas and the concepts and having those guests in and listening to them, but then also more importantly, doing loads of research. And now I'm listening to lots of podcasts, including this one, and, you know, lots of other podcasts and reading and getting ideas. It means that I've actually, on the subject at hand, got thoughts of my own. And I feel comfortable about talking about those thoughts because they're well thought through a lot more now. And so a big part of that is just having the confidence in what you're talking about. And most people have a subject, you know, you see it on social media, on business groups all the time. You know, if you had 30 minutes, what would you talk about?
Yeah.
And most people, irrespective of the idea of standing in front of someone, have 30 minutes to talk about something, whatever that subject is. And the second half of that is just going and doing it, and a bit like I did maybe, and doing a bit at a time, and just eventually get used to it. You get used to talking, and now you can't shut me up as I've rambled on for this whole podcast. But you know, whether it's just there's so many platforms now. I think after lockdown, people have realised that to become a speaker, you don't necessarily have to be, you know, stood in front of 200 people. You can be just doing a little live, and a couple of people will watch you, and then, you know, it's not the end of the world if you say something stupid. You realize that very quickly. If you make a mistake, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
You say something that you didn't mean, you say sorry, you say, you know, there's all the, at the end of the day, I actually think that it's a lot easier, you'll find, than doing written content, because you're a real person and it's much more long form. You get that, you know, if I say something and I didn't mean it, the context is there and you go, oh, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean it like that, X, Y, Z. You send a tweet out, people read it 30 different ways.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, that's interesting. So two key things. One was to build it up gradually and just ease yourself in and get more and more used to it, which is always great advice anyway. Yeah. And I particularly like the other one, the fact that you got more comfortable because you got more comfortable about the things that you had to say that you were talking about. That's really interesting. I can see how that can really help.
That might be like, do it without a camera, talk to people, to people about your subject, find people that are interested to have a chat about things, and you'll realize how much you know about a subject.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. I like that. Two great ways to develop and to get more out there. And as you say, these days, particularly the pandemic, really showed us with so much stuff going online. You don't have to be there on stage in front of a few hundred people. You can do it from the comfort of your own living room, office, bedroom, wherever.
Yeah.
And build up. Yeah. I love it.
It's something that I've heard a few people say recently about imposter syndrome. Because people, it's always been a negative thing, you know, get over imposter syndrome. But actually, imposter syndrome is the thing that makes you go and research to make sure you absolutely know what you're talking about. And I think that's kind of where I was at. You know, I've got to hear being able to talk about stuff comfortably because I had the imposter syndrome, but I use it as a positive thing. I'm going to use that to go and learn.
I love that. Yes, so often you're right. So often we get told, oh, if you have imposter syndrome, just remember that you know what you're talking about. Remember, it's not real. No, you're absolutely right there. So use it as a positive. Okay, so I've got imposter syndrome. What do I need to learn and read about? So that I don't feel I'm an imposter on this topic.
Yeah.
Love it. I mean,
at the end of the day, the opposite of imposter syndrome is I think I know everything and nobody ever does. And those are the people who fail, not the people who work hard to learn something.
Yeah, very true. Very true. As I knew it would happen, time is against us, as always. I've learned quite a few useful and interesting parts from this, and I know our listener will have got a few useful tips as well. Jesse, thank you so much for sharing these with us. For anyone who wants to get in touch, maybe find out a bit more about you, or maybe even get in touch, what's the best way?
Probably the best way is to have a look at our Instagram page. We're quite active on there. So if you look at Newton's Nuggets on Instagram, that's probably the best place to find us.
Brilliant. And definitely check it out. Definitely check out their podcast. It really is well worth listening to. It's a great podcast.
And well, we have some great guests, don't we?
You do. And I've also been on as well, but we won't talk about that. it's a fun podcast, as podcasts should be.
Absolutely.
So check out Instagram.com/Newton's Nuggets. There's also various other links where you can find more about Jesse, and so I'll pop them all in the show notes for this episode. As always, go to keithblakemorenoble.com/show and look for The One with Jesse Lawrence, and you'll find this episode. You'll find the links and his bio and a whole lot more. Do check him out. Do subscribe to us as well if you've enjoyed this. Give us a like, a subscribe, share it. Rate us on your favorite podcast platform. It always helps. Jesse, thank you so much for taking the time out. I'm glad we finally managed to get to a free spot in both our diaries, so we were able to do this. It's been a blast. Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Excellent, excellent. Hopefully, you never know, one day we'll have you back on again to explore more. Perhaps explore a bit more about your photography. Who knows? Mm-hmm. And in fact, Jesse and I do have a bit more to talk about. Just after this, we're going to go off and record some stuff exclusively for my Patreon. So if you're a Patreon, we're going to be talking a little bit more. You're going to want to catch that. And if you're not a Patreon, you're going to want to become one so you can check it out. Again, you'll find all the information at keithblakemorenoble.com/show. Look for The One with Jesse Lawrence. Thank you so much, Jesse. Thank you, dear listener, dear viewer, however you're catching this. I am going to leave you with a beautiful quote that Jesse has provided. It's one of his favorite quotes. It's a quote from Mark Twain. It ain't what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.